Keep going.
Welcome to Double Impact, the podcast where we usually double back on the movies that impacted us growing up as 90s kids and decide whether they hold up today or best left in the past. But COVID has strucketh once more, and poor little Greg has been taken down. Go well soon, little buddy. We're rooting for you. And so here we are. It's a solo pod, a little bonus episode, because you know what? I didn't want to just post another bloody re-release. I know it's been a shaky year here at the Double Impact Podcast, but with the COVIDs and the moving across the worlds and such. So I wanted to make sure that we're still giving you some form of fresh content, even if it's just me, sans Greg. So it's somewhat of a grand experiment, but I've got some juicy questions from you guys that I will endeavor to answer. So let's do this. Bonus pod.
Let the great experiment begin!
Wow.
Keep going.
Still got my gracious co-hosts, Owen and JC, of course. And Charlie Wilson. All right, so what do we got here? I've got a few questions, some juicy, some just moist, but some juicy ones to be sure. First one here from Michael Olson. He's actually got a few questions. I'll pepper them throughout, and I respect, you know, his contribution. I only posted that we needed these questions a couple of hours ago. He poses a great question, a very Double Impact question. Which JCVD film would benefit from a Lego sequel? I think for this one, my heart says Bloodsport. There's that amazing trailer going around recently that is essentially a Lego sequel. I mean, it's all from existing footage and it gives you goosebumps. So I back that one 100%. Some honorable mentions, I would say it would be ignorant of me not to wish for some kind of Double Impact Lego sequel. Where's Chad and Alex now? How are they coping in the world of COVID in Hong Kong? And, you know, all the civil unrest perhaps that's going on there. You know, there's all these rich political landscapes to draw upon, which we know JC and the gang love. They're nothing if not highly political.
Because of my big legs and karate, I can do the splits, no problem.
And my other honorable mention here would be not quite a Lego sequel, but a Lego casting.
Finish him.
Legacy casting. And that would be for the next Mortal Kombat movie to have Johnny Cage played by, you know, an elder statesman like Jean-Claude Van Damme. Because after all, as we all know, without Bloodsport, there is no Mortal Kombat. And without JC, there is no JC Johnny Cage either. So make that happen, Hollywood, if you're listening.
It's very astute on your part.
But another juicy question here from John Johnston, if that is your real name. Sounds a little made up, if you ask me.
Oh, no. Hey, Joey Jojo!
Is Greg the voice of Bluey's dad? Now, this is an interesting one because, you know what, I'm not too familiar with Bluey myself. I don't have any kids. And Greg's not here to answer for himself, so I guess we're going to have to do some investigation here. So let me do a quick Google. Okay, so this is what Bluey's dad sounds like.
I am Bluey and I stink like a monkey's butt.
I am Bluey and I stink like a monkey's butt.
Well, good that we can agree on that then. Time for my morning walk.
Time for my morning walk.
I like to walk really far. I like to walk like this.
I see where you're coming from.
In the Olympics.
I've never seen this show before. This is,
Morning, Wendy. Do you know I like to smack my bum as hard as I can?
This is all very Greg. I'm going to start talking about Expo 88 at any minute now.
Where were you on that one?
Where were you on that one?
Yeah, I think it's confirmed. Bluey's dad is Greg. Case closed. Look at us, just talking to ourselves. I hope hopefully this is interesting to somebody out there. This is a juicy question. Okay, from James Lang. With the current trend for female-only reboots, Do you think we are likely to have a new generation of female Lat Pack movies? This is a good question. This is actually something Greg and I have talked about a lot, believe it or not. I think when the first, you know, pre-pod, I think when the first or second Expendables came out, we spent some time brainstorming what an all-female Expendables film could look like. And we talked about, you know, the obvious ones like Linda Hamilton, Sigourney Weaver, but maybe even you get a little Tia Carrera in there. Maybe a Sharon Stone. Maybe Pamela Anderson. Maybe Sally. I don't know. But I would also say to this, it's an interesting one because if you think about, you know, the early seeds of what would become Lat Pack, we did have Linda Hamilton in Terminator 1. We did have Sigourney Weaver.
Get away from her, you bitch!
In the Alien franchise. So I feel like women are inherently part of the Lat Pack story, but perhaps something we don't include in the Lat Pack narrative enough. It's interesting. I feel like, you know, if Linda Hamilton or Sigourney Weaver were to show up in the next Expendables movie, I don't think that would feel out of place at all. Even Sharon Stone, you know, with Total Recalls and such. So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Consider that a divorce.
The other thing I would say to that, though, is it is interesting that I'm not even sure we get male Lat Pack movies anymore. So if we're looking at this through the lens of modern action movies, as we've seen with our current miniseries, Lat Pack Past and Present, is that the modern action films, even when they star our Lat Pack heroes, are not really Lat Pack in their aesthetic or tone so much. They're often, they're skewing towards more modern trends. So with our, you know, with modern films like Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning, it's like skewing to this Nicholas Winding Refn vibe. It's kind of horror, neon, hardcore shit. And then you get, you know, Rambo Last Blood, and it's kind of Taken. And then even, you know, spoiler alert, we'll get into Expendables next week, but even the Expendables and the whole premise of the Expendables is really to be the rebirth of Lat Pack in many ways. A throwback to Lat Pack probably is more appropriate. And I would say, having watched it last night, and, you know, I haven't fully formed my opinion on this one yet, perhaps, but I would say it is almost more akin to an Ocean's 11 than a traditional 80s and 90s Lat Pack film. In terms of banter, in terms of action, it's kind of there, and in terms of the violence and all that stuff, it's kind of there, although I think some of the sequels are maybe PG. But regardless, one really important ingredient in Lat Pack films, as we discussed in, you know, the year that was 1986 with Commando and Rambo, is the banter. And Commando really added that flavor to the somewhat humorless Rambo.
Remember, Sally, when I promised to kill you last?
That's right, Major. You did.
I lied.
And, the banter in Expendables is very, like, I don't know, it's a little too quirky, I think. I mean, we'll unpack that more next week. I don't want to, you know, show all my cards just yet. But as an early soft observation, this does not speak to my verdict on the film, but just as one Lat Pack ingredient, I would say it perhaps falls short. Maybe that's controversial.
Toasty!
What else we got here? Oh, we've got a great question. Well, we've got a question from Petros over at the Caged In podcast. Great podcast if you haven't listened to that yet. I went and visited Petros on one of his episodes a while back with the Dracula Untold, and it was a good time. So he does, obviously, Nicolas Cage movies. I think he's covered all of those now, so he's branched out into the broader Coppola family tree. And actually right now he's doing a miniseries on The Offer, you know, that TV show that's the whole behind-the-scenes story of how The Godfather got made. You know, we love a good origin story in this pod, so check that out if you're interested. But he's also getting into a Summer of Schwartzman miniseries, which is definitely worth checking out. I mean, we love the Schwartzman over here on Double Impact Podcast. He's one of our guys, for sure.
Don't you put me in this corner where I have to fuck my way out.
But his question, sorry, that's not a preamble, but Petros's question, jeez. Fuck, marry, kill. Stanley Goodspeed, Cameron Poe, and Castor Troy. Obviously, you know, brought to life very theatrically, somewhat operatically, by Nicolas Cage. Now, this is a tough one. I would say Stanley is maybe the least familiar to me. You know, I've only seen The Rock maybe once or twice. The other films I've seen many a time. And more recently, we will do The Rock soon, though. This just makes me want to do it more. So I think I've got to kill Stanley. Sorry, Stanley. You sound like a great bloke. And you're a doctor. Marriage material. But better the devil you know, I say. And I would fuck Caster Troy because... because I got to bang one of them and he seems like, you know, not afraid to go there. And marry Cameron Poe. I mean, what a sweetheart.
Those pink coconut things have made me quite popular. Met a guy just the other day, Baby-O. He sure does love him.
How could you not want to marry Cameron Poe? Believe here we are, guys. But we do have more questions. Okay, this is a good one. I really like this question. Thank you, Daniel Hubner. Hubner? And I'm really sorry if I'm not saying that right. I'm pretty sure it's not Hubner. I'm pretty sure it's Hubner. Now, Daniel's question was, beyond Max and Mick, Mad Max and Mick Dundee respectively, we didn't get many Aussie films in Europe in my formative years. So which are the definitive Australian movies of the 80s and 90s? Not the critically acclaimed ones, but the ones that everybody liked. Now, this is a good question. Two Hands was perhaps the most, it was a real moment in Australia. That came out in 1999. I know we're getting late 90s here, but I guess to rewind, growing up in Australia, it kind of wasn't, it didn't feel like there were many cool Australian movies for kids and teens in the 80s and 90s, put it that way. Until Two Hands came along. There were some others I'll get into in a second, actually, but Two Hands was really a big moment. That was kind of our answer to the sort of Lock, Stock, Tarantino to a degree. That was our response to that, and it was a big deal, starring Heath Ledger. We covered it on the pod, so go back and check that one out if you haven't already. And Rose Byrne was kind of the breakout for both of those guys.
So, you're like a strip club guy, hey?
Yeah. Well, no, I've been doing that for a while, yeah, but I got a new job, and you could say I'm moving on.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm working for a guy, you know, just doing odd jobs here and there.
That was huge. And then following that, one film we haven't done, but I would say is a must, I think it came slightly after, let's see. Yeah, 2000, a year later, Chopper, which just pushed that even further. So Chopper is this somewhat infamous underworld figure in Australia. So it's based on a true story, played by Eric Bana. Great fucking movie. Like this is if I was to show anyone an Australian movie, you know, in our world, our friends of the show, you know, if you listen to this podcast, this is right up your alley. Chopper, 2000. Starring Eric Bana. We will surely cover this on the podcast soon. That was huge.
Hey, Neville. Neville. Nev.
Yeah?
Hey, Nev. Oh, you want to give me a bit of money?
Where'd you hear that, mate?
It's just the mail. I can collect it now if you like.
I think someone's pulling your leg, mate.
Someone's pulling your leg, Neville. Someone will pull your other fucking leg in a minute. Now, how much you want to give me?
Who do you think you're talking to, mate? Eh? Who do you think you're talking to? I'm Neville Bardos. You remember that? Or has your fucking memory lapsed, you fucking idiot?
What?
Who do you think you're talking to, mate?
Oh, sorry. Was I being rude?
Yes, mate. You were being very fucking rude. You fucking dickhead. And you want to make some money, you make it yourself. Get him a drink, Nick. And behave. I said behave. Fucking idiot.
Huge. Like, that is... on the DVD, that is prime positioning on the DVD shelf in the early 2000s in the university years of Greg and myself, absolutely. But I guess rewinding a little bit earlier, there were some Australian movies. Obviously, I'm speaking for myself here, but surely if I think this way, there must be at least a few of us. But there were some films by this guy, Yahoo Serious. I don't know how there's a Simpsons joke about it, which I think is written, so I don't know how much it's going to translate in the pod. I'll see if I can find it.
I know those words, but that sign makes no sense.
But Yahoo Serious made these films in like the mid-90s, mid to early 90s that were pretty huge for guys like us. So one, oh God, we got to do this on the podcast. All right. So they were kind of goofball comedies, I guess. I haven't seen them in a long time, but the first one was called Young Einstein and came out in 88, of course. Oh shit, Greg, hold your beer. Young Einstein came out in 1988, starring, written by, produced by, and directed by Yahoo Serious. And it is a fantasized account of the life of Albert Einstein, which alters all people, places, and circumstances of his life, including relocating the theoretical physicist to Australia, having him splitting the atom with a chisel, and inventing rock and roll and surfing. That's interesting. I just read that off Wikipedia. But that's interesting. The only thing I remembered was he put the bubbles in beer. I thought that was his invention. So very Australian.
If you could split the nucleus of a beer atom into two fragments, then the mass of the two fragments will be less than the mass of the original nucleus. And the difference in mass will be transformed into energy. Energy equals mass times the square of the speed of light. Give it a go.
Man, we got to do that soon. Thanks. Fucking great question, because we got to do that soon. And he had subsequent movies like Reckless Kelly, which I think I'm sensing a theme here. I think Reckless Kelly was a reimagining of Ned Kelly along the same line. So, you know, at least he was Australian, I guess. But damn, he's wearing a trash can on his head.
It's a 44.
Check out the dickhead talking to a machine.
That's no dickhead. That's Ned Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
This transaction is terminated.
I don't think so.
Ouch.
Computer malfunction.
Bingo.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26,
Yahoo Serious, ladies and gentlemen. All right, what else we got? Good questions, guys. Good questions. We got a question from our friends of the show over at Action Action Podcast as well. Now, we love their podcast. It's going through all the action movies, past and present, so not just relegated to the 80s and 90s. Although, having said that, they recently covered Double Impact, the movie, not the podcast. So I strongly recommend checking that one out. I've done their show before. I did The Transporter, which actually is not a bad segue into their question, because they ask, if you had to remake The Transporter in 1986, who would you cast in the Statham role? Now, when they said this one through, I did have to think about this, and I would say we need to go call Lat Pack in this one. And when I look at to be frank, when I think about what is my Mount Rushmore of Lat Pack, it's definitely Arnold, it's definitely Sly, it's definitely JC, and I really want to put Dolph on there. And you know I love Dolph. You know, Greg and I both love Dolph. He's basically Australian, and he's a genius, and he's, you know, quite a specimen. And I think the one shortfall he has is that he doesn't have, other than Masters of the Universe, which is more of a so bad it's good, you know, novelty. Don't get me wrong. Don't come at me. I know a lot of people hold that movie dear, and I enjoy it too. But let's be honest here, people. I think he needs a more solidified, you know, a bona fide entry into the Lat Pack canon where he is the lead. Because, of course, he's in Rocky IV and he's great in that. And, of course, he's in Universal Soldier and he's great in that. And maybe co-lead in that. But, and you know, Punisher, and he's around. He is definitely in, he is Lat Pack for sure. But I would love to bolster his resume with a picture like The Transporter. I think the overall premise of The Transporter would be a great 80s Dolph vehicle. And, you know, Dolph, if you're listening, don't take this the wrong way, but I would dial down the dialogue too. So have him be the real strong, silent type. He can still get, you know, all greased up like Statham did because, you know, come on, we've got to get asses in seats, people. But dial back the dialogue. Make him mysterious. That's when he works best. And that's my re-pitch. And yes, of course, if you haven't listened to the Action Action podcast, really check it out. It's on all your favorite podcast platforms. They're going through every action movie. So they've even got a Letterboxd going on where they've, because they actually score them. They have a more, they have a much more solid evaluation criteria than our fluffy, you know, did Simpsons do it? And they land on a number and have ranked all the action films they've covered so far on their Letterboxd account. So you can check that out and, you know, see if you agree or disagree and maybe start some beef. I don't know.
Keep going.
Okay, I think we've got time for a couple more questions. Let's go to another one from Michael Olson because he's got some great ones. Michael, we probably won't get to all your questions, so we really appreciate you sending them all in, but we might save some in our back pocket for some further Q&A episodes down the track. But this is a great question that I really want to get to. So Michael asks, Tom Hanks never did action. Which film of his from the 80s or 90s would have benefited from a few roundhouse kicks or shootouts being added? I think Turner and Hooch could have gone a little darker and grittier. I would be 100% down for that. Like, just make it an R-rated cop movie directed by Paul Verhoeven. And, you know, you got yourself a picture, bish, bash, bosh. That would be something I'd be very interested in. Maybe there's a gritty reboot to be made and, you know, he can be an older, more grizzled cop. And I guess it would be Hooch's great grand puppies at this point being involved. But, you know, we love a Lego sequel and we stand the Hanks, so why not? Maybe you get Chet Hanks in there. He can do the soundtrack for a dark and gritty R-rated buddy cop film directed by Paul Verhoeven. Man, that's a good idea. Story by.
Big up the whole island, massive. It's your boy, Chetana.
The other thing I would say, because when I first read that question, I thought you were asking what action movie could Tom Hanks have starred in. And I would say, I think there's an alternate reality where a Tom Hanks type would do well in like a Total Recall type of film. Because, you know, you don't know if he's a spy. It seems out of character. And I think if I recall correctly in the short story, he was more of an everyday person. And actually on that note, so was Terminator. So the original concept with Terminator was he was supposed to blend in. Now, who is more everyman looking than Tom Hanks? I mean, Sarah Connor would invite him in for a cup of tea. She dared. I think that's pretty astute on my part, I must say. All right, I think we've got time for one more question. Lachlan Northridge asks, what are your first memories of Lat Pack films? It's a great question. I would say, I think it goes back to JC, man. I think as all of you know, I've talked about my friend Jono who lived two doors down. We were best mates growing up and essentially all my Lat Pack consumption up to a certain age, because I wasn't allowed to watch it at my house, was at his house. And I would also say that a lot of the time, you know those childhood friendships where you'd just walk into their house. You wouldn't even knock. It was like that. And so often I would walk in and him and his dad, or just him, or even just his dad sometimes, were watching these films. So I think in the first instance, films like Bloodsport, and I think I talked about this on Rambo 2, I would just capture them. I would just catch them in pieces and they would just fucking blow my mind. Like, I think my first memory of a Lat Pack thing, and I guess it depends on whether you count Bloodsport as Lat Pack. I would. It's maybe the subgenre of martial arts Lat Pack. But Chong Li busting out the leg bone of JC's mate, Michelle Kissy. Not Jackson, I know. But Michelle Kissy, because, you know, they're best mates. Popping out that leg. Fuck. Yeah, man, that was fucked up. That may have given me nightmares. I definitely saw it just a couple years before I should have. And watching it now, like, it's still gross and whatever, but it's not that crazy. That's probably my earliest memory. Anyway, I think that's all we have time for on this mini Q&A pod. I'm really sorry we didn't have a new episode, guys. We will as soon as we can. And who knows, maybe we'll pump through the whole trilogy and we can make the next episode the full Expendables trilogy. I don't want to promise that just yet, but, you know, that could be pretty spicy. I guess some other Double Impact news coming up. We're going to, you know, we're obviously near the end of our Lat Pack Past and Present miniseries. We're thinking of doing just a couple of wildcard picks for a few weeks, but then we're considering getting into a sequel September miniseries for, you guessed it, the month of September. So if you've got any recommendations, let us know. We want to do sequels to films we've already done, though, so I guess that kind of limits it. But, you know, we haven't done Back to the Future 2 yet, and others. Many things. And then Halloween's coming up, so, you know, we'll do our thing there. And we're considering, we got a little short list of miniseries that we might tackle after that, including films co-starring dogs. Catchy name yet to be cracked. But until then, see you next week for a real episode, a real episode. And thank you for hanging out. We appreciate each and every one of you. You're the best. In the words of Greg Carney via Jerry Springer, be good to yourselves and each other. Is that what he says? I can't even remember. Bye.
Seriously, Nev, like, how you holding for cash? I'm a bit bloody broke.
Listen, mate, there's no cash here. Here, there's no cash, all right? Cash, no. Robbo?
No cash.
I'll tell you what. You try getting from where you're sitting to the front door. Because I reckon I could shoot you from where you're sitting to the front door. Because that's about as long as you've got to produce some money for me right now. I'll give you 20 seconds to produce some cash, or else I'll fucking shoot you. One, two,
hey, I've got no
three,
cash, mate.
Four,
I
five,
told you I've got no cash.
Six,
listen, you come in,
seven,
I fucking
eight,
give you drinks.
Nine,
what's the matter with
10,
you?
Listen, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85,